Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Babe.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is
Babe.
Hi.
Hi.
We're back.
Yeah, we're back.
Another week, another babe.
Yep, it just never ends.
It never ends over here on in West Hollywood adjacent.
So we're recording live from my apartment, and our apartment building is being a major babe right now.
Yeah, it's we live in like a beautiful broke down palace.
Yeah,
where it's very like a storied history of a building with like a fountain, and it's really like LA idyllic, like the perfect place that you would ever want to live, except it's kind of crumbling to the ground.
It's physically held together by like a cough and a prayer. Like,
yeah,
literally it's just like it's just not.
I literally think every single day I worry about what would happen in an earthquake.
Oh, we will die. Absolutely.
And I've urged Ryan a lot to get an earthquake expert to come, because I'm like, in the event of a disaster, which is pretty much imminent for California, like, it's going to fall on my shoulders to keep you and Jonathan alive.
I just feel like there's no point, because I feel like the earthquake inspector is going to come here and be like, lol, run for your life.
Well,
and
then he would tell us. I just want to know. Well, I want to know our best exit strategy. Like, I want to know if he's like,
our best
this
exit
is the
strategy
safest place.
Is moving out of this building.
No, there is an exit strategy, and I need to be well informed. But I also can't pay for the earthquake expert, so I need you to fund the earthquake expert, and then we can have a safety plan.
I just don't think he's going to give us any information that we can really benefit from.
You won't know until you get him.
How much do they cost?
I don't know. I think I can look into it, because I have friends that have gotten like earthquake kits and like a whole survival plan. We need to have a plan.
Why don't you start your 40th GoFundMe and get earthquake?
Maybe I will. Please Venmo me $5 so that we can get
here
an earthquake
goes.
Plan
here she goes.
Together.
Here she
and
goes
just
again.
Venmo me $5 at Lars Marie and say earthquake safety plan. Venmo Ryan, actually, so
Venmo
that he'll
me,
just
so
do it.
I know that the funds won't be misappropriated.
No, they wouldn't be, because I really just want to survive. I also just want to be able to have a safety plan, and for him to sit us all three down and tell us what our safety plan should be, so that we're all on the same page if a bad thing happens.
Again, his safety plan will be literally putting up apartmentlistings.com and looking at different apartments for us to move into.
His safety plan is he just shoots you and Jonathan in the head, because he's like, you're never going to adhere to any safety plan, and you're better off dead in this situation than me trying to like wrangle the two of you. Get us to a meeting point.
And then you and the earthquake guy actually fall in love over a dead body.
Yeah. I like
great.
That.
Yeah. Cute.
I needed to go on a date. So I needed an earthquake guy to come over.
I don't think they're hot, but anyways.
I feel like they are, because survive.
I think they're hot.
Yeah. They're like really born hot. To survive. So like their category.
It's just like legitimately like Dwayne Johnson from like San Andreas Falls.
That's what I imagine.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or just like a guy that never goes on the internet.
Right.
He doesn't know anything except survival. And then he's like, these two are dead weight.
He lives in the woods of West Hollywood. No, I don't think so. Okay, so there's stuff going on right now. Mm-hmm. There's stuff going on. Okay, what are we talking about? Nikki Blonsky is still my queen. I follow her Instagram stories religiously. She just never stops delivering what I need.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so she's really gotten into book cameo, you know, when you can get celebrities to like say happy birthday or like, I'm sorry.
So
your
is
mom
she
has
on
cancer.
Cameo?
She's on cameo. She loves it. She says it allows her to be her fun, kooky self. Mm. And she's begging her fans to book her on cameo, because it brings her so much joy to bring them joy.
How much does she charge for a cameo?
I think she probably gets paid in Pez. I don't know.
No, I'm looking right now because I need to know.
I love it because she honestly, I mean, TBH, she sounds like she's on downers. I mean, I don't want to allege anything, but she definitely has a medicated drawl, you know? I mean, it takes one to know one. And I don't think she's in a good place. I'm going to put it out there.
She typically responds in 5 hours, so that's a really good time.
Should I, for your birthday, should I have Nikki give you a happy birthday message?
It doesn't say how much she's charging.
I'm telling you, it's like literally like an Altoid covered in lint.
There's like no charge.
Yeah.
I mean, like, but she has 4.8 stars on Cameo.
Fantastic. I bet she gives people, she's a performer. She's a people pleaser.
She's a worker.
She's a worker bee.
Hey, you might know me as Tracy Turnblad in the movie Hairspray. I love all my fans and I love making them smile. So let's make a cameo and make your loved one smile with a cameo from me.
So when she does these Instagram stories, she gets cut off and then she rewinds what she said, like too far. Do you know what I mean? So she'll like be like, book me on Book Cameo. I love Book Cam. And then it'll be like, book me on Book Cameo. I love Book Cameo. Like, so she just ends up repeating herself over and over and over again. And it's hypnotizing. I love it. It's very soothing for me.
Yeah. I like her earnestness.
Yeah.
I liked when she said her favorite brand of water was Aquafina.
I also love it when she goes, now if you'll excuse me, I have to watch my dear friend, John Travolta.
She's always posting pictures of with her and celebrities.
Yeah.
She's like, remember when we were just
Brittany
babies?
Snow.
Yeah.
She did that to Brittany Snow the other day. He goes, my darling Brittany Snow. She's like, remember when we were making a movie?
Do you think that celebs
Brittany's like literally has sweat pouring down her forehead. She has like a gun pointed to her head from Nikki's like parents. Like she's like, please get me out of here.
Do you think that celebs like sidebar about Nikki reaches out, they're like, oh, have you gotten a Nikki reach out? And they're like, yeah, she just added me like on Instagram.
Are you kidding me? I would pay like $20,000 to read those text threads.
Nikki, what's she up to today?
Not much.
She's always watching TV.
She's watching TV. She loves watching TV in a dark... She loves Welcome Back, Cotter.
But she's always in like a dark room watching TV, which is really freaky. It reminds me of like the Twilight Zone.
The other day, she was bringing home groceries, and she apparently forgot some of them, so her coffee ice cream melted outside, and she showed us the coffee ice cream that melted. I mean,
brand of coffee ice cream
like,
was
I
it?
Am like hooked. I'm like literally a heroin addict. I'm like literally like, hit me, baby, one more time, Brit Nikki. Give me that fucking coffee ice cream melted content.
Is it just? It's just like the mundane nature of her life that she feels like it's so important, and it kind of is because she was at one point somewhat recognizable.
Famous.
Yeah,
and then but then she had a really steep decline. It's like she was in Hairspray, and then she was in nothing.
She was in Hairspray, and then she was in like a viral
video. She was
video
in a viral video
where she like
she attacked.
Yeah, attacked like
America's Next
Bianca
Top Model.
From America's right, Next Top Model
right,
and her family
airport,
in a racist rant.
In a racist rant.
Her dad kicked Bianca's mom, I think, in the vagina.
She did.
And Nikki got pretty much blacklisted after that, which I mean,
fair.
Fair enough.
Apparently she was working at a shoe store in upstate New York.
She now lives just like in the burbs.
Yeah, she does.
Like, did she audition for stuff?
I don't know. Whatever she wants to be in, I'll put her in. Whatever power I gain in Hollywood.
Honey, don't let your ass. Wait, what is it? Don't write a check that your ass can't cash.
Yeah,
don't
I know.
Don't let your mouth write a check your ass can't cash.
No.
Mm-mm. You don't want. Because Nikki will come.
She's here. Did you see her? She's helicoptering in.
She's like, hey, it's me, Nikki Blonsky.
She
from
found
Hairspray.
A way.
Heard you had a role for me.
She found a way to break through the door. We're locked inside, but somehow Nikki barreled through.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so to get back to like what's going on with our apartment now, because we never said.
What?
We're locked.
Oh, we're locked. We never said. God, we're so bad at this. We were locked inside our apartment yesterday. The door just stopped working, so we were truly locked inside.
I mean, you had to the only way you could get out was through like a side door by my unit.
Yeah. It was really not
this
chic.
Is a Nikki Blonsky update right now.
That's fine, but I thought it was funny. Whatever.
You love it.
I loved it.
You've
I loved
been
that we
so
were
lit
in.
About the door being locked.
I loved it. It gave me a thrill. My life is mundane.
It's mundane. It gave you the thrill of a lifetime. You're like, oh my God. And you were like yelling, screaming. Jonathan noticed it. You came out of the apartment and just watched as
oh,
we
I
tried
loved
to
it.
Like
it was riveting. It was riveting. Okay, what else?
Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah. So the Arrested Development thing was so triggering to read because I just feel like I've seen that conversation IRL so many times. So many times I've seen it in writers' rooms. I've seen it everywhere. This idea where like a woman tries to speak up and be like, well, this happened to me. And the guys are like, anyways, back back to how I feel. Like, you know, and no, they're not listening.
I read like sound bites from that interview, but I can't like go down the path of reading the whole thing because it's like incredibly triggering.
She's truly crying and like they're just like being like, anyways, it's like not to belittle it, but like seriously, like it wasn't that big of a deal. Like as she's sobbing. And they're like, anyway, it's not a big deal. Like honestly, Hollywood's a weird place to work and like you have to get used to it, and, like whatever, like not a big deal. Not a big deal. And takes two to tango, okay? And she's like sobbing.
I'm like,
it's fucked up. It's totally fucked up. It's everyone, like, it's men protecting men. It's the boys club protecting each other. And, you know, it ain't going to work anymore. Game over.
Well,
you know?
It seems like it is pretty much working.
No, it's not. Jeffrey Tambor needs to just go away. His Hollywood Reporter profile was insane.
What was it? What'd they say?
It was like his redemption interview. And really, honestly, it falls on the author because the author was so generous with him. And then the trans actresses who accused him of misconduct, there were these like kind of personal flourishes in the profile where it was like, well, you know, one of those actresses tried to kill herself, and the other one, she loved raunchy humor on set. And it was just sort of it was just not great. It was not great.
I feel like just because he was part of Transparent, like, people give him a pass because, like, he seems woke as a man for, like, being in that role and being on that show.
But he's just
garbage. But, I mean, you can still be a douchebag and play a trans person on
TV. Well, also, like, that was good for his career. So, I mean, trans was paying the bills, you know?
Yeah. Well, I
hated it, and I felt really bad. I couldn't believe it, and I'm also glad though that an interview like that can come out and people will be like, oh, that's fucked up. Whereas 4 years ago, I feel like people would just like have not bat an eyelash, and it would have been the status quo. So at least we're having
It makes it seem like, oh, Jessica Walter's crazy.
She's crazy.
She's
exactly.
Or
oh,
whatever.
She's emotional. Right.
Yeah.
And now it's like no.
As someone who's actually lived that exact same experience, with you every day of our lives together. No, just in my life, in certain elements and parts of my life, it's like, it's too much.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The gaslighting and the victim blaming and, again, the boys club banding.
And, like, just the shutting it down and, like, minimizing.
Oh,
where you're like,
but then
this
also being
is actually
like, yes,
a big deal for me. And then everyone around you being like, it's not that big of a deal. It's not
honestly,
that
it's
big
of a deal.
And then you start to feel like a crazy person because you're like, wow, I am just like a psychotic bitch. Like, I guess I'm emotional and unstable and like, I can't handle it. And it turns you into like, you become your own worst enemy because you think like, oh, if everyone around me is seeing something differently, then I must be the one with the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds like you've experienced it.
I'm like, reach out to me offline. But we're here now, okay. And we're thriving, and we have a great guest today. And I would like to get into that because I'm really being brought down to a dark level with all this talk of men gaslighting women. Today we have a beautiful soul. A star in a universe of darkness.
It's true. A bright, shining light.
A bright, shining light. A bastion of hope. Mm-hmm. A beacon of grace. It's Freckle.
What is bastion again?
Like a pillar.
You're really good with words. That was one of the first things that Ed told me about you. He's like, she is like a wordsmith.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I'm illiterate. Teach me, mommy.
Do you prefer to be introduced as Freckle or Jason Green, aka Freckle? Or like, how would you introduce yourself?
Whatever you prefer. I'm here to please you. It's like my pronoun. I'm open. I like to think of, you know how people have pet names? I think of Freckle as like a pet name rather than a nickname.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a little bit of a difference, right?
Yeah.
That's how I always thought of it. And then Freckle just took a life of its own. Freckle was like a thing I perform even before I did Caleb Gallo, The Gay and Wondrous Life of Caleb Gallo, a 5-part digital series on YouTube. Before I did that, I was doing Freckle live on stage. And I think that it's just sound like, I don't know. I like when some people are like Jason, and I'll respond to it. They say Freckle, but Freckle just sounds cute, you know?
It's adorable.
It has like a freckle to it. Yeah. And if you want to know the etymology, or is it origin or?
I think
origin.
Okay.
Origin.
Yeah, origin story.
If you look at the sky at night, a freckle in space is a star. And we're all just a freckle in space. We're all stars. It's Buddhist.
I love it.
It is Buddhist. I love it.
Yeah. Well, how did Freckle come about? I mean,
well, a long time ago, when you know how you go around in the circle and people were like, your stripper name is like your first pet and mm-hmm. your first street you lived on or something. And I was just like, I think my stripper name would be Freckle. Like, I just thought it was a joke because it was supposed to be like something that's bad. Like, people don't like freckles. And then I was at like a drag show before I even known about drag or RuPaul or any of that world. And it was where they were going into the audience asking people with stuff. And he was like, are you even old enough to be here? Give me your driver's license. And I took it out. And he was like, and I had like a little bit of nail polish on. He's like, are you, little did he know about the trans emergence that was going to happen. But he was like, are you a little baby drag? And I was like, yeah. He's like, or do you just do it for Halloween? It was Raven. Raven's one of the drag queens. And I was like, a little bit of both. He's like, okay. What's your name? What's your drag name? And I was like, and it just kind of, I hadn't thought about that story of the stripper name since just sophomore year of high school. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, Freckle. And he was like, okay, all the greats have one word names.
I love a one word.
Madonna. Yeah. And he was like, me, Raven. Yeah. And I was like, okay. So that stuck. And then I created the allegory, etymology, origin. Freckle. And it just stuck. I don't know.
Where does Freckle end and Jason begin? Or are they just one and the same?
In the past, it was a conglomerate of like my idea of a modern flapper. In the old days, flappers cut their hair short and wore pants. And so this was the idea of like a boy growing their hair long and wearing a skirt. Mm-hmm. And I was really drawn by like Joan Crawford, who was an extra, and then like people were like her, and then she'd get a line, and then it was during Prohibition, and she would go to the speakeasies and get on the tabletop drunk and do the Charleston. And F. Scott Fitzgerald said she was the quintessential flapper.
Oh wow.
And then she became a like she would just have a line and two lines in movies, and directors were just like, that girl, get that girl. And from nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that Freckle was like a vaudeville showgirl, Akbar, turned 20s film starlet, 2020s, which is actually my fruition because I just filmed Amy Poehler's new movie, Wine Country.
Yes.
As Freckle. They wrote the character.
As Freckle. As
really?
Freckle.
Yeah, they gave the character's name Freckle and they wrote me into it. So that was kind of like, oh my God, I'm manifesting, right?
Right. How was that, by the way?
So fun. Yeah.
Rachel Dratch.
Rachel Dratch was hilarious. Maya Rudolph, a friend.
dear friend.
I have a lot to say about the Nikki stuff in a second. Anna Gasteyer and I hit it off really well.
Did Paula Pell write it?
Yes, and she's in it, and she's so fun.
Oh, she's fantastic.
And then it turned out, it was so crazy until I got to set, that so I'm in like the climax of the film, and I'm playing kind of like a freckle, but like art fag, you know, that I can save that, that terminology, like in a gallery that's supposed to be like, we're millennials. I'm like freckle the millennial, basically. Right. And the girl who was like dating one of the, it's a group of 50-year-olds going to wine country, and amazing. One of them falls for this girl. And the girl is the actress Maya Erskine, who I went to high school with and was one of my close friends.
Which,
not just somebody I went to high school with, like she was one of my girls, you know.
What a full circle moment. Look at us now?
I mean, when we were 15, we were like, we're going to be in movies together someday.
And
as like
all
little
happened.
Pretentious kids at the late arts high school. But she does a lot. She was in like Man versus Woman on FX. She was in an NBC Heartbeat.
Oh, great.
She's just sold her show, her own show that she wrote. She's so cool. You should look her up, Maya Erskine. I feel like
to achieve like big things, you have to kind of be like the 15-year-old being like, we're going to do this one day. And it sounds insane, but that's how you fucking get it.
Yeah.
That's how you get what you want.
You have to be a little bit delusional.
You have to be a little bit of delusion goes a long fucking way.
I had a falling out. No, I had a fight with an artist one time. She was a visual artist and she was an incredible photographer. And she made a documentary about me. And, and it's, she like won't even like give me the tapes or whatever, but I have some like rough copies, or some footage. And in one of our last fights, she was like, let your delusions fuel you. And I remember thinking, that's incredible advice. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, yeah. they will.
Yeah.
And also, everything that we do in this art-making process, mm-hmm. let alone me as an actor, is delusional. I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing twice, expecting the same results.
Right.
When you do a scene, when you are yelling, you know, Stella, or mm-hmm. I've always depended on the kindness of strangers, you're recreating that moment to be real for the first time. Mm-hmm. So, sure, that's the practical application of the craft of acting, but you also have to believe in the impossible to succeed, I think, in anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a fellow actor, I relate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fellow anything.
But to be in, like, to be working, I think, and trying to do anything creative, at least, you have to have, like, some level of just, like, belief in yourself that in what could be and faith that it will just work out, even though the odds are stacked against you pretty much 100% of the time.
When I got my first job writing for this TV show called Awkward, and I was living in New York, and I woke up and I was like, I think I'm going to write for that show, Awkward. And then I moved here, and I didn't know how anything worked. I didn't know when things staffed. And then Awkward was staffing right when I moved here, and I got the job. It was crazy. Like, mm-hmm. I really, truly, like, manifested that shit. It's real.
You secreted
it's like,
it.
It's tricky to talk about because you don't want to sound like psychotic or kind
right.
of.
Right.
Like,
I mean, like, are you big on the secret and law of attraction? And,
I'm not.
I just am like.
Do you know where it comes from? Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham.
Uh-uh.
Okay. So The Secret was this like mass sold book DVD tape.
Yeah.
Based off these tapes from Abraham Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, which is funny because
Abraham
she was,
from the Bible?
And no, it's just the spirit Abraham. And it comes
who's Abraham?
Oh, we'll pull up a thing in a bit. And it's she's like, and she has this mid-Atlantic accent. She's very like, we are knowing what we are wanting. Mm-hmm. We are coming together for the purpose of co-creating. Yes, it feels good. And I definitely like devoured those tapes in my early 20s. What the bleep do we know?
You
know?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then I did mm-hmm. Meisner. So, like,
okay.
I think I've always been in the field of like manifesting your own reality. I like saying I'm painting my dreams into reality.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that.
I mean, what's the harm in it, too? Like exactly.
No, there's no harm. As long as you're not hurting anyone else in the process of getting what you want, then it's fine.
But again, you have to be determined. I mean, because also the odds of succeeding are small, just like whatever. And so, you have.
I have no interest in shoving somebody out of my way so that I'm in some sort of spotlight.
Totally.
I quote Marianne Williamson when she says, the cosmic spotlight doesn't come from above, it comes from within. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I just need to be my best self. And my best self comes down to a somewhat silly statement, but it made a lot of sense to me young, and I still believe in it, which is just to let your heart explode out of your chest. Mm-hmm. And whatever that means, like as metaphorically or like mm-hmm. literally. And I think that I always say, like, I don't think I'm better than anyone, mm-hmm. but I sure as hell don't think anyone's better than me. So, you know, like, I just, so that middle ground, you know, I think
I love
is a really
that.
Great place to be.
Yeah.
I also don't believe, like, I think people see someone who is similar to them, quote unquote, or whatever, and they achieve success and they think, oh, well, there goes my seat at the table. And I truly believe that does not exist. Like, I don't believe that one person's success means your own failure. I really also believe that a rising tide lifts all ships.
Yeah. I mean, that's like an ego battle, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to see someone else that reminds you of you and to watch them get what they have wanted and what you've wanted. And
well, especially
then to
if
think
you're a minority or a marginalized person, because there really truly is only so many seats at the table sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? But I don't know. I think getting stuck on that is so fruitless. You know?
Yeah.
There's only so many seats for a marginalized or minority.
Yeah, like you know, you can go into a network and pitch a show about like three straight men like talking around at work. Everyone's like, yeah, it's greenlighted again and again. But like if there's like one show about like a black family, or there's like the show, you know, whatever, like then people feel like, oh, that and that's it. There's only one. Like where like Looking kind of failed on HBO, you know, and we all kind of had to pay for that as like gay people, because people saw that as, oh, no one cares about the lives of gay men. They were like, no, we just don't care about the lives of those gay men.
Right. There were no stars. I mean, if you look at, and I don't mean stars with resumes, because if you look at Sex and the City, it didn't matter what they did. They mm-hmm. were stars. Those mm-hmm. men were boring.
Yeah. They were boring as shit. There were people.
And like, I don't need the opposite, which is like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. No mm-hmm. offense to mm-hmm. My good friend, Jonathan Bennett. I mean, I shouldn't even say we're friends, but you know, I'm not Nikki Bilal.
My dear friend. friend.
Yeah, I live at dear friend.
My dear friend JVN.
Yeah, no, I mean, my show did a very good job. Caleb Gallo. I don't know if, how much of it you've seen.
Oh, I've seen
it. He's the one that showed it to me. Originally. Oh, okay.
I showed it my first week of being on Will and Grace. I showed it to the whole room. I was like, okay, and they were obsessed.
Maybe that's how they got Brian.
Yeah, yeah. The Brian was on the
I'm
radar.
Still waiting for my call.
They were no, they were obsessed with you. They were obsessed.
But
with
they were
you.
Like dangerous. We don't the pronouns. Or they were it's just coming. Probably like, if they had to bring me in, they'd have to give a backstory probably for pronouns because of like middle America stuff.
Yeah, I think multicam's
different. And
then it
would take up so much of the episode. And then really people would just be like, we just want to watch Freckle. Like, why would you want to watch those geezers?
I would
want to
watch
around?
A Will and Grace episode that is just you doing like a one woman show yeah. for half an hour.
Or explaining to them who and what I am.
You like, talking about Will and Grace for yeah. half an hour. Like yeah. doing the origin story of mm-hmm. Will and Grace, like an annotated history.
Well, there's yeah. the next show.
Yeah. But yeah, what else is coming? What else is happening for you?
For me?
Yeah.
Let's see. It hasn't been released on Deadline, but I think I can talk about Jordan Firstman has two great shorts. One, Call Your Father. It did very well in the festival. And his other short, Men Who Whisper.
Oh, yeah.
Made it into Sundance. And we will have a series, Call Your Father, that we start shooting in June and July. I probably shouldn't say what network. I just don't know.
Right, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Cool. But so who cares? But we're shooting. And then... we have a mutual friend who is going to be having you know an e show that I will you know probably play on and play with, so like there's stuff. That's and then cool. Maybe I don't even need to talk about that. I have my own show with companies that are it's weird. It's that weird gray area of like stuff's happening, but I can't be like, this is coming out. Other than
that is literally everyone's life all the time. It's like you're in the waiting room.
Thank you. Other than Wine Country, I can say it is funny though, because before I always felt like every 3 months I could be like, this is coming out. This is coming out. And mm-hmm. for the first time I was like, ooh, I haven't done anything since Search Party, you know, which is a funny place to, I mean, to speak metaphysically.
But there are always lulls, like, in
not
this,
lulls, lulls.
Lulls, yeah. yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I thought you were saying lull. No, as well, and I was like, I felt betrayed. I was no. like, no. I was like, that's not how we say
a
it.
A lull.
But, and yeah. what we spoke
where
about.
You go through a cycle of yeah. being, like, working, doing so much is coming out, and then into, like, some sort of K-hole where it's, like, either nothing is happening, or it's kind of dead, or you're just, like, creating, but it's, like, in... quiet, secret, until right. waiting for the next time that things
yeah.
start to come
well,
out.
Well, it's like there's like an incubation period. There's like, and there is truly so much waiting around. Yeah. There really is. And that's the frustrating part too.
But well, how do you deal with waiting around?
I was just about to bring it back to this other point, which is I think it's only society and conditioning that tells you that a lull is a negative or right. that we think by not doing anything is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I, for one, sleep almost 12 hours a night. I nap all the time. My favorite activity is waking up and looking out the window and doing absolutely nothing mm-hmm. for an entire day. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I love a lounge day, like lay in mm-hmm. bed, just like
I love
think
a
about
lounge
things,
year.
Fantasize.
Personally, I've been on the lounge. Well, no, and I think about it, I'm like, oh, when I'm shooting, I'm going to be shooting 12 hours and all the time. It's like, I might as well just let myself go back to sleep. Might as well sleep now, mm-hmm. you know, totally. And then do stage later. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, I don't see... the other day, I went out on foot, and I went and got a coffee, and then...
went out on foot.
Yeah, like, well...
like, so for a walk. Yeah.
And then I walked around the reservoir.
I'm going out on foot.
I'll be back.
The other day, I went out on foot.
Is that not...
no, I love
like
it. I just like the way that you...
And I just strolled, and it was beautiful, you know? Like, granted, I have a Buddhist background, and I do have a Zen kind of Taoist... literacy to my training. So I, when you said lull and you said frustrating,
mm-hmm.
to me, that's kind of my zone because to me, what's the antithesis? Like shooting emails and getting gigs and being hungry and And also, like, winning. Like, I don't... Like, how much money does one need, A?
Right.
And B, like, I don't know if I even need... And of course, I require a lot of attention, but I don't even know if I need that much attention. Like, I don't think that's what wakes me up in the morning and kicks off the covers to, like, be nationally known. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to be on foot.
Yeah.
And people are going to figure it out as they have.
What's interesting...
Does that make me lazy?
No. No, okay. I'm actually very jealous of your point of view because I've been writing
The white one doesn't hurt.
Well, no, I've been writing for television for 5 years, and it's very much like a feast or famine kind of vibe. It's like you're working a lot or you're not. And I've really, like, now we're shooting my show in July. And so...
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's exciting and it's really fun, but it does feel like I feel very, like, anxious because I'm just like, what do I do? And I feel also a sense of guilt of, like, I should be working on something else. I should be doing something else, but I don't know how to really channel that energy because I also feel like I'm waiting, and that's its own emotional real estate. So I think your mindset of, like, the Buddhism, whatever, I think that's a really...
That was the book. It was called Buddhism, whatever.
No, I think that's honestly, I've realized that in order for me, because this is the only thing I want to do. I want to write. I want to create. That's all I want to do. So the business is not going to change. Powerful. Well, yeah, the business is not going to change. So I have to change me for the business because I can't be like this. I can't.
Yeah. You have to find a way to, like, work within the confines of whatever business you choose to be in. Absolutely. Like, no matter who you are, essentially, unless you're just totally independently, I guess, wealthy or just have resources at your disposal.
Right.
But I don't know. It's also, it's challenging for me because it's like, I feel, and this might just be like my Gemini nature, but it's like, I will be either.
Have you seen all the Gemini memes, by the way?
What?
Of like, it's Gemini season and it's people literally like running from like dumpster fires, like literally being like screaming for their lives.
My Gemini season has been off to like a very TBD start.
Can we go back? What does that mean?
I've been like kind of feeling depressed, but then terrified that I'm going to fall into like a depression K-hole.
Which makes anxiety.
And then also I'm like not taking my meds at the same time every day, and I don't know why. It's just like sometimes I'll be like, hey, I'm gonna take this at midnight, and then the next day I'm like, I'll take it at 4 p.m. It's like what weird kind,
is it medication that you need to take
daily? It's Zoloft, so it's like you don't feel one dose, but it's like you're supposed to take it. No, you're supposed to take it the same time every day to like be evened out. And I don't know why I'm like choosing to go on a roller coaster. And my birthday's coming up, which I haven't experienced.
You're resisting the medication. I'm not like a Scientologist that's anti-medication, but I believe in like just, I don't know. I love you. So to me, I'm like, if you're feeling off the rocker, I'm like, I like you off the rocker because that's who you are, but I'm a firm believer
in that. I don't. I used to think that I love great. That, but I really don't. Like, I can't.
No,
I can't.
Laura needs to be on the rocker.
Then why don't you just take it every day? That's what I would
I know, because I don't know. Because I like to self-sabotage a little bit. Because
you're a brunette. Because you're a brunette.
Entirely different conversation.
Yeah, and I am also, like, I'm not blonde anymore.
And that really throws her off her
and
axis.
It threw me off. Mm-hmm. And you stole my blonde.
I did. I came for
okay, so Freckle became blonde around the time that my blonde was growing out. And then we were at several social functions where people were mistaking us for each other.
Oh, no, they would thought you were me. That's I'm just kidding. I love you so much. I want to get back to a point.
I'm done.
Because I've already lost it, so it's fine. But I was going to say, when you have that, what do I do until July?
Yeah.
Meditation and yoga, unless those are cliche answers, but like,
no, I think
you don't do either of those.
No, you don't do either.
So that would help.
Like to talk about it to me a lot, but like then it doesn't happen.
I fall off. Start it and then I fall off because when I try to meditate, my mind wanders a lot, and then I'm like, oh wow, I'm really fucked up because I can't even concentrate.
But that's like the whole thing about meditation.
I know. And then you don't want to go to therapy?
No, I'm in therapy. Okay. And my therapist says meditation.
Yeah.
Okay.
My therapist literally said
so we're in a
week,
loop. We're like in a crazy loop.
We're in a loop. Yeah. So it's in a loop of constant anxiety and not
doing the necessary steps to take
care of it.
Who am I? I feel like I have the answers and I don't.
I think meditation is key, and I think it's cliche for a reason because it works for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like one of those things that's so simple, it makes me mad that it, like.
Well, I go to the gym is my meditation, but it's not enough. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, running is really chic, but you can only run from things for so long.
Yeah. And sweat is good, but it's like keeping everything in balance. Because right now, like, my like Buddhist practice is like totally fallen off. And I start to feel like manic or crazy when I don't have that one element of my life like in a consistent place. But then it's like I really rebel against that because I've never liked to have any sort of like rules or like trusting someone else to be like, this would help you. Then I'm like,
yeah,
it doesn't. And like, I can help myself. But then what's true is like, life takes a certain balance of a lot of different things to like,
well, it takes a lot of work to just be happy. And I think in your 20s, like I had the same baseline in my 20s always. And I could like burn my life to the ground and be like, anyways, like I had such emotional elasticity. And I feel like now that I'm in my 30s, I'm kind of understanding like, oh, all of that kind of amounted to something. Like I'm going to have to pay for those mistakes. It's like I was living life on credit and now I have to like pay the credit card company. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I quote a Buddhist text. If you say, I want happiness, mm-hmm. take away the I, because that's identity
mm-hmm.
And selfishness. And if you take away the want, that's desire.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're left with happiness.
Mm.
That's so true.
Where did to take?
Guru.
Yeah. I love it. I know.
Or
Babe Ru.
Yeah.
It's a Babe Ru.
It is a Babe Ru.
Oh, yeah.
A Boo Ru.
Well, I didn't mean to cut you off if I did.
About becoming blonde?
So, oh, I don't know. No, I cut you off. But I just had thought about something about just knowing who and what you are and like, is so important. And for me, it's been the greatest awakening to be like, I don't have a six pack. I'm not going to do anything to get a six pack.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm probably never going to have a six pack. So I'm not going to play the roles of a person who has a six pack. So, coming around to the jealousy thing was what it was. Uh-huh. So already I'm free of like that.
Yeah.
Whole infrastructure of mm-hmm. being quote unquote hot by mainstream standards.
Mm-hmm.
So when I released that, it was like, okay, then I just am what I am, you know, and I can't be like anybody else or fit in. I don't fit in. So it's the jealousy thing doesn't come up because there's nobody I'd rather be other than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And also nobody can be me other than they can be themselves. But in full circle, I will say, when people admit that they're like, oh, I'm an extremely jealous person, or mm-hmm. I am obsessed with celebrities, I'm actually, it warms my heart by their honesty than somebody who pretends they're not obsessed with celebrities or not a jealous person
mm-hmm.
and then goes through their life. Like, that's right. More terrifying than somebody who's just like, oh, yeah.
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 Right.
Living course.
I always say, like, if you own everything, no one can take anything away from you. And I think that's, like, always, like, an important thing to
How
remember.
Many times do you say that?
I said it a lot.
Oh. Is that true? I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's true, though, because it's true.
I also quote the Valley of Dolls, they can take everything away from you, but they can't take away your talent.
It's true.
Amen.
Was that Sharon Tate?
Oh, no, that's Amelia O'Hara, that right?
Yeah. Well, it was
or Anne.
No, it was the old Susan Hayward or the Judy old Garland character sang it to Neely O'Hara. Oh,
God, I love Valley of the Dolls. It's I remember so I read it.
I read
the
book is great. 18 on Adderall. And
me too. Sans Adderall, but at therapeutic but like boarding at school. 18, yeah,
like that real right.
And I was like, these are my ladies.
Oh yeah. And I'm dyslexic. Like I can't read a book. Like I have to listen to a book on tape.
Yeah.
For instance, Picture of Dorian Gray. I had on my nightstand for 2 weeks. I could barely get through. The first chapter, for whatever reason, I sat down and I did book on tape
mm-hmm.
and I didn't lose attention for 2 hours.
Wow.
And I listened to the entire thing. So, you know, that's another thing of like, know who you are and then know how you learn.
Know what works for you.
Yeah.
And also, don't resent it about yourself because it's like, I'm still trying to figure out, like, I feel like some what works for me and what doesn't. Or it's like, once I have figured it out, then I get really mad about it. Like, I'm like, why is it like this? Say,
break
for
that
me?
Down again a little.
Like,
are you like, I know 8 glasses of water and a 20-minute jog in the morning works for me,
yeah,
but because I know it, it makes me upset.
It makes me upset and I don't want to do it then. And so then I like get really resistant. I don't know. It gets
that's
like
weird. Well, you're like really into self-sabotage sometimes, I think.
We've said that earlier, so let's circle back around to that.
Let's circle back around. Yeah.
Have it's you like ever something... like studied the phenomenon or like researched it or like read it? I'm sure there's an entire book on it.
I'm sure there is, and I would love any references to like a book like that, because it is a self-sabotage and it is like, it's like, yeah, it's like I
wish I had the reference or book, but I think what makes us similar is that I definitely can relate and to that. And
it's
I
like understand. It feels powerful to me to destroy something in my life that's good or like punish myself and be like,
so you're
well, an, I know
so
this
you're
is
an
the
abusive
good stuff.
Person.
Yeah, to you're myself, admi- probably. Yeah.
And you can grow out of that, though.
You're a killer.
You can grow out of that, though, because I was like that, too, in my 20s, and I just grew out of it.
Well,
I just,
she's dead.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm 33.
No, I think, Jesus age. So maybe you're like, maybe you need to like.
I'm having my
maybe
moment.
Maybe you're killing yourself to like reincarnate. Like,
yeah, I think so.
Exploring carpentry.
And I don't know. I feel like the more I know, the more I don't
know. You
know,
it's either fear of failure or fear of success, which both are equally scary.
For you, it's fear of failure, I think.
No, I think it's both.
Really? Mm-hmm. Fear of success?
They're both tied in, though.
They're both the same thing. They're opposite ends of the spectrum. Right.
And it all comes down to not identity. I think it comes down to vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Are you guys familiar with Brené Brown's TED Talk, Power of Vulnerability, Listening to Shame?
No. Mm-hmm.
Changed my fucking life.
Oh, really? My God. Wait, I'm writing that down.
Every Buddhist book
this is
I've
like
ever
a therapeutic moment for me.
Honey, I didn't know you're such a resource. I love it.
Thank you. It makes me a little sad that sometimes when I get that, like, oh, I didn't realize how smart you'd be, it's like, well, what do I give off? Like, that I'm a drunk slut?
No. I just know
we don't know each other.
I didn't know that.
I think it's like
Buddhist
people.
I didn't know any of this stuff.
Yeah, like before I met you, I just knew of you like through Ed and through your online presence, and so I guess I had a preconceived notion that you might be like difficult to talk to or be like, I don't know, maybe like
bonkers?
A bitch or something.
Oh God, that and one then, gets me mm-hmm. full. Like that one when sometimes I meet who have that like preconceived notion. Yeah. That's what that term is. That one throws me for a loop. If they think I'm bonkers, I'm like, oh, okay, because the internet, it's like, yeah, because I'm putting this kind of thing. But the bitch.
It was weird. And then we sat down. I remember we like had coffee one morning when I was staying at Ed's house for like a couple weeks. And
yeah.
We like really chatted for like a long time. It was such a nice conversation. And I was like, oh, that was so different than what I thought. But it's just like my own preconceived notion and probably my insecurities of being like, oh, like. Freckle would be like
this
like wouldn't like me or like to me or something like that.
Oh no, I would never be mean. No, but I definitely now I know what you're saying, and now I'm like, oh, I've definitely thought that about somebody else too. So
yeah.
I'm like, yes, 100%.
And I think that people think that about me a lot of the time. Like
they think
I'm like cold or like I'm not interested or like I'm gonna brush them off.
Which isn't true. Like 90%
of the time.
Off?
Yeah. Are you not interested?
Sometimes
I'm not interested.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. True.
Sometimes like, I'm really not interested, but most I am interested.
Oh, actually, I will say with you, because you came to Madonna Inn and I had some like freaky characters, and the people that like would annoy other people, I remember looking at you and be like, I like them. I remember you.
Oh, I love a character.
We're opposite. I get really triggered and trolled by people that are like, and then but you love it.
I love anyone who's like down to like just
lol or be extra
or like let their freak flag flow. Yeah. Anyone that's willing to do that and like put it out
there.
What's
the opposite? You're just bored. Like
you're bored. And I really live vicariously through a spirit like that, because like at my core, like when I'm my truest self, I'm like a loller through and through, just like loud and vibrant and whatever. And then at my like most negative, it's like I'm withdrawn, quiet, resentful. So it's like I appreciate that spirit coming from people. And I love just like a wild, I love a wild
card. Well, yeah. I guess maybe, I don't know. It's amazing how many people I meet that just don't have opinions. It's really crazy. Some people just don't have anything.
Some people are watchers or observers or.
I'm seeing a guy and I have to learn how to accept that just because he's not extroverted or nuts, so to speak, like maybe he keeps it on the inside, like that that he's as valid as somebody else's. That's why I was like, when you just said the thing, you're like, oh, I in my best I can like go with that, and then in my most negative I'll get withdrawn, and instantly my mind didn't go, oh, so that's the good one, that's bad one. My mind went, oh, because you're a whole person.
Yeah.
Because you're a human
and
being.
And that's the spectrum.
Experience is everything.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing about like self-help or self-realization mm-hmm. is that it's like, there's no good over evil. Like,
right.
It's all of it.
And it doesn't have to be one or the other. Like, I mean, probably the best place is to exist somewhere in between that, because it's like, those are two.
I think nuance is like dying. I feel like people are not into nuance anymore. People are really into like black and white. Like mm-hmm. things being one way or the other, and it's a real bummer because life is everything. It's just nuance. That's all it is, right? I mean, I don't know.
People are angry, and I think people have every right to be angry, but sometimes I'm like, I'm tired of you being so angry. Or like, mm-hmm. there'll be like, it's like PC culture, which I obviously get into trouble with because I like to just say whatever comes out of my mouth, knowing that my heart is good. So mm-hmm. I'm like, it's semantics at that point. Don't mm-hmm. tell me that something I'm saying, because I do believe, I'm an actor. I believe in the communication of, like, you're breathing life into words, not the words themselves.
Yeah.
But then some people are writers and they believe the words are the words themselves. So I'm losing my mind. You know, but like to like call everything out mm-hmm. all the time, I'm like,
it's exhausting.
Do you ever just sit by a puddle and like like touch it
on foot?
You know, on foot.
I went out on foot the other day.
I feel like those people don't take a moment to smell the roses.
No, yeah. They're looking for the roly-poly that's going out of the rose.
And that's the thorn, in their eye. And it's like,
and I'm really a person that, like, I want to be, like, I just want to loll at the end of the day. And I want to, like, I think that that's, like, for me has been the best way of coping with, like, anything that's happened in my life or anything that continues to happen. And, like, that's, like, what I want to provide to the world.
It's
and
a philosophy.
That, yeah. I and mean, that
we got to the bottom of it in Kansas, like, when we did the video. Like, what is actually the law? It's not...
Yeah.
Right? Remember, we were getting it with Ed. We were coming into like, and I think it should be written. I think it should be
What was this?
Like a theory of lols.
Ooh, okay.
It's not just laughing out loud. Like, it's not just laughing out loud.
It's a state of mind.
It's a state of mind.
A way of being.
A way of being.
It's a lens from which to see it. The lol, actually, it's called the lol lens.
Like, it doesn't deny darkness. Like, if somebody was like, well, what if I'm having a bad day? Does that mean I can't hang out with lols if I don't feel like laughing that day? It's like, no, that's part of it. Having the bad day is the lol.
Right. Yeah. Because, like, I've had, God knows, I mean, you've seen me a lot less like this, but I mean, with Ed, there was one day where we were in Japan and I was, like, truly in a null zone. Like, there's nothing that he could say that would make me laugh. I got bad news earlier that day. But, like, then I was just very negative, and it's like, he's definitely someone that tries to, like, breathe, like, lols or, like, life or, like, lift you kind of up out of that place. And for me, sometimes it will take a while, and then I know that I'm being, like, a psycho that's refusing to, like, play ball with a lol. And then it will end up being one little thing that just flips the switch, and then I can just laugh at the entire situation and, like, laugh at myself for being, like, such a null, and then, like, make fun of it, and it kind of
that's
is just...
the breaking
it's
point,
It's the biggest,
right?
Like, release, and then you kind of realize, like, nothing is, like, it's not life... Nothing is life or death.
Yeah.
I've gotten really good at, like, metabolizing trolls into instant lols. Like, I remember when I was going out for this job on a show, and I was outside the Fox lot, and someone pulled over and was like, do you need to go to the hospital? Which I thought was hilarious. Yeah, which has happened to me before, by the way.
Yeah.
Because I have a limp. I have cerebral palsy. So people, like, truly look at me and they're like, do you need the ER? Like, I'm not kidding you. Like, they assume that I need help. And mm-hmm. it's, and I was going in for Speechless, the show about the kid with CP, which I thought was brilliant. I was mm-hmm. like, I'm going in about, like, and this happens to me outside the meeting. And I feel like a couple years ago, that would have destroyed me. That would have actually, like, gutted me. And I would have, like, totally, like, turtled up and been, like, inconsolable.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was funny. I thought it was bizarre. I thought it was like kind of perfect to be going into this for this show and having this happen to me.
That's philosophy of the lol.
Yeah, yeah. It's for a cosmic. Sure. Yeah. It's like a cosmic lol at the end of the day.
It takes a while to get there.
It takes a while to get there. But my
because I did not look at it like that.
Like I, when people like troll me or like say something to me or try and like attack in that way, like that doesn't bother me. Like I think like, that it's really funny.
I can't imagine them doing that. So what's an example?
it happens.
It happens.
So I have a phenomenon. Okay. I bring a lot of things back to myself. So you know, stop me.
It's all good. Now. This is why you're here.
I am kind of shocked at how very little to almost non hate mail or like those kind of messages I don't receive. And I have two theories, which is I'm like terrifying. Like people must be like, I must seem like Charles Manson to these, some people. And they like,
no. I think they might
or
not know.
B, they, I haven't hit enough of a large enough audience for somebody to get pissed off.
Yeah. Cause I'm in that same camp. Like I don't get
me either though.
I don't get like hateful messages online. I don't get like people trolling. Like,
I honestly think it's because we're not famous enough. I'm serious. Like, I think, but I also think that
or
we're not.
Or is it the energy you put out there?
Yeah. Well, you're just bringing people joy. I mean, I don't know. Well,
and
no,
being
but
silly.
I don't know
and, like, that's
what
like,
people could attack. I mean, you could have like right wing people attacking you, I guess, for being who you are. But
I guess, but I don't even
I'd love to see them try.
Yeah. But
well, I don't even think, I think they're so right wing they actually couldn't because it would like prove themselves. Like, what are they going to like say? Like,
but you
no
also,
lashes.
Like, but you're also incredibly self-possessed and it feels like whatever troll you're going to endure, like truly you're just like, whatever. Like I feel like that. Like, you know what I mean?
I, for myself, I told you, I want to bring it back to myself. Mm-hmm. I also went through the ringer of, very rigorous method acting classes, classical training and, fake audition for American Idol when I was 20 singing I Touch Myself.
Oh like, my God, I remember that. I forgot about that.
Obviously
iconic.
It's a joke. Like if right. I wanted to sing, I would have sang Mary Had a Little Lamb or something. Like,
right.
I you know, and I right. went into because I was really into the show Punked at the time.
Oh, totally.
And like Duck Shepherd. Camera and like I don't know, it was one of those things where like it kept fueling the beast and the gag kept the law kept going.
But yeah, that's like
it.
The ultimate law is like
it was
to
the
troll.
The
well, you troll.
Troll. Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that it went over people's heads, it was literally I would say a month, if not months, before this is how old I am. The viral video of like the cat drinking milk that like when you put a if things were going viral on YouTube but didn't necessarily translate to Facebook yet
mm-hmm.
do you know what I mean how mm-hmm. it like that
yeah
actually there was a period where that wasn't really happening like truly like in the this is 2007 like I just graduated high school in 2006 so what mm-hmm. is that like 11 years ago
mm-hmm.
this yeah. is how kind of archaic this stuff was because they didn't have that. A, it was like things weren't just instantly made into YouTube videos and instantly put on Facebook. That's beside the point. It did go over people's head, and like the comments on YouTube were like, this gay, which is like, okay. Like, and like, fag.
You're
and
like, yes, and?
Yeah, I was like, that's like calling the kid all black. I don't understand. Even at 21, I was like, huh? And then it was like, if I saw this person on the street, I'd punch them. Like, that's a flaming faggot. That's a rapist and a pedophile. Like, just like, truly, like, utterly, like, this is the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Granted, I sang I Touch Myself, and I was, like, vibing with, like, a... Like, when I think back now...
You were being hyposexual.
Sure.
Hypersexual.
Hypo. But I will say that it's only because I come from the indie LA, like, art world that it appeared that way. Because ultimately, I was... when I look at it now, it's like a 20-year-old boy just, like,
being
letting,
a silly.
Letting his freak flag wave or yeah. letting his fag freak flow. What was the new thing?
Freak flag.
I was just
flow.
Being gay.
Yeah.
And we had not seen gay, and regardless of Will and Grace,
no.
like that before. And right. all of their commentary have nothing to do with my singing, have nothing to do with... I wouldn't even say it was like...
It has to do with visibility.
Yeah, I don't even think they were like, oh, you're being really sexual. This is weird. It was right. like, we... A gay... Oh, a confident gay person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not, like,
and
don't
I
recognize.
Don't mean a confident gay man that has a six-pack and a crew cut.
Right.
So, like, to have a confident, like, which is now the norm, mm-hmm. I really right. think, especially with, like, the kid, like, I'm not even getting into gender fluid trans yet. I'm, like, not right. even, I'm talking about just being, like, a little bit of a hippie. Or,
yeah.
like, mm-hmm. a little yeah. bit of a, like, fuck you establishment.
Right.
So... What? No. So, so to have heard that at 21 and to be 30 now, there's really not much you can tell me that I haven't heard
mm-hmm.
or not much you can tell me that I don't know myself enough not to know that it's not true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you said, hey, redhead, I'd be like, I don't have red hair. I have blonde hair. You know, so it's like, I yeah. don't, like, what?
Right. Well, it's just having a strong sense of self. I mean, yeah. really.
Or your hair looks like shit. Okay. Like, I know it does. I mean, like, I washed it and I tried to curl it myself and, like, mm-hmm. it didn't do it. Like, fell out. Like, I guess it looks like so. Like, that's, so I don't know what part of my character or my being could be attacked that I would feel vulnerable about unless somebody was like, do algebra. And they'd be like, you can't. I'd be mm-hmm. like, you're right. I mean, like, I don't right. know. Like,
yeah,
so
it's hard to find
like,
something that's to, like...
Meisner says, I wish the stage were as narrow as a tightrope so no amateur would ever get on it. And I think it's like, there should be a prerequisite to releasing anything. I have a whole other theory about... musicians and actors remind me
okay yeah
of the, and this I would just want to like extrapolate on it because I think it'd be okay. good fodder for you guys, but it's like if you haven't self-identified to yourself, then you should not put any content into the world.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts?
I mean, I agree with you. Like, I think that, like, I'm a person who is careful about what I say and what I put out into the world, but I also like stand by what makes me lol. And I know that that's always been my barometer for like whatever I put out there. And I'm learning that it might not 100% of the time make other people lol, but I'm open to them telling me that. And like, I can
for
own,
you as for the public figure.
Yeah.
Like,
and
in
I can
your
own
version
what I say.
Of the spotlight, let's
yeah.
say.
And I can own what I say and everything. And if someone was to like, talk shit about me or my appearance, which has been done like online, or like my voice saying mm-hmm. I have the voice of a man, which was like
my, too.
My well, first high, memory she, as a child being like, oh my God, I have a man voice.
Well, it's she
like,
has high T. You have
it's
high T.
Not, it's
high,
like
high, T?
High testosterone.
High testosterone.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So
also like the voice of a man, that's like
it's great.
Turner. Like,
power.
That's like,
yeah,
yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And like, I don't, I take everything with a grain of lol. I mean, I don't... there are some things I can get sensitive about, but that mostly comes from, like, close friends rather than, like, some random stranger tweeting or talking shit about me.
I mean, I believe in having dialogues
with
people.
Wait, break that down again?
Like, I get more sensitive about, like...
A friend or a stranger?
A friend uh-huh. than I do a stranger. I laugh at...
Specifically, inside or outside?
Inside.
Like who you are emotionally?
No, like who, yeah, like who I am emotionally.
So there's something a friend could say about you emotionally that could like get you.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's full circle to what we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't have friends other than friends like me that love what's inside of you. Am I right?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
By 30, I've gotten, like, I don't have acquaintances because, like, I'm such a floozy, so to speak, that I don't, like, make promises. Like, but it's been such a great buffer that the only right. people in my, like, proximity I know, like, love me.
Yeah.
To the point that I know what you're saying, though, where if a close person said something that fucked with your well-being on the inside.
The close people are the ones that know you, like, inside and out. So then
why would they do that? So that would be so scary.
Not coming from a place of, like, trying to hurt, but, like, I'm just saying, yeah, like, saying.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Something that gets to be like offensive or like, is just like
hurtful. Laura, you're unhinged?
Mm. No.
Okay.
Well, Laura and I have disagreements.
We have disagreements. We had a disagreement on the podcast last week that was like
a big babe out.
Yeah, a babe out that got cut.
Yeah.
Because no one needs to be privy to that kind of drama from us.
Well, but it's like,
I mean,
I'm just trying to collect my original thing, which is, I think, which again is very different between one-on-one, off a mic, not public, and I'm putting myself out there. I like to think, as actors and as performers, we are the pie in the face people. Like, we are, when you do that, you almost take a vow or an oath or a creed that is like, because A, you're doing it either out of self-expression, but potential. But then you're going to get something out of self-expressing yourself. But in that sky, I don't know anything about it, but in that realm or any one of those people, you're doing it because you want the Ferrari, or you're doing it because you want the live stadium or the adulation or the glory or some kind of financial reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
But go be a social worker, go study law. The second you do that, you are signing up for surrendering yourself to the public. And why that is not like common law blows my mind.
Right.
Is all I was saying.
Yeah.
But like, as far as me and you, like at a bar, aside from there, not even at a bar, at dinner, and then me saying something personal that like is hurt you, like that's a very different situation.
That's different, yeah, and that's not what I'm talking about. Is because I don't have friends like that that make like
ready to be like, let's. Like,
I'm saying
we're gonna clean up your life right now. Like I'm here for a purpose, Ted. Like
I'm saying, like in the frame of like,
but sometimes
in the context of last week per se, it's like I'm very aware that I am putting myself out there on this podcast, and I do say things that are very personal and share like very intense parts of my life with the thousands of people that listen to this, and that, and I'm into that, but it also is really vulnerable. So when there's a moment, I think with like last week where it's like you, someone who is like my best friend to say, to comment and say, make a judgment on something I've said about myself, makes me feel like, oh my God, like you're not seeing me or you're not hearing me, or you're commenting on that in a non-supportive way. And then that makes me scared. And so I react from that place of being scared, because it's like, this is such a vulnerable space for me. And it is like, I forget sometimes.
So some friendships are just like, you're so close. It's like holding up a mirror. It's so like,
well, and also, and it's like, this is the blurred lines of the difference between you guys like sitting on the couch on a Tuesday without this and this being here, where it gets a little loose, as opposed to like, I'm like pretty as open as I'm going to be, but like, and also you guys are not my best friends. I mean, you're, as pretty close as you are, but like I'm talking to people right next to me, not right here right now.
Yeah.
So us talking about some deep shit with a microphone, that's different.
Yeah.
Right.
And that probably would get dicey.
It's different and it has an audience. And so there's things to take into account that like, it's just different in that way than it is if you are on the couch.
And that's the nature of this beast.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, it's like, you definitely do sign a contract when you decide to like start putting things out into the world, and you are like in a more vulnerable place as a perform, if you're performing or podcasting or putting your writing out there, and it's like, it's very scary.
I think I'm not a bully, but I'm a teacher. I'm a principal, strict with a ruler. for entitlement. Mm-hmm. I think the second, and please slap the shit out of me if I ever do this, and I don't think I will because I'm a stickler for it. I think the second that it's like, but like, things just get so hard because I did this Amy Poehler movie. Like, I'm on a website. I'm like, people will come up to me like at Opera and they like want a picture. I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
No, 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 no. Absolutely not. I have so much empathy in my, like, I'm, I guess, an empath. I don't love using that word, but I think empathy is something that is in my DNA or in my construct or in my training. And I can sympathize. But that is one thing that I'm like, absolutely not. That is just pure entitlement. It's just, and we're not helping anyone by like accommodating or coddling that part of notoriety or visibility. Mm-hmm. Because I could do it, you know,
yeah.
Even with the rice grain of attention I've received. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a dark place that it comes from. It's not coming from a place of light and positivity.
Right.
And it's not coming from the origin of why we do this. Mm-hmm. So, or it's like, then step off the fucking stage.
Yeah. And then rethink it and then don't put yourself out there in that way anymore.
And also there's nothing more modest or humble redeeming. I don't know. There's nothing more beautiful than somebody saying, I bow out now. Mm-hmm.
Or like, knowing your limits and being like, okay, you know, this is crossing a line and this is like maybe not for me. And so I'm going to walk it back or I don't know.
The biggest on a show I worked on, the biggest diva behavior I encountered was from a featured extra. It was just like perfect. She truly had no lines. Mm-hmm. She just was a nightmare. And then we had a
forget. I'm like, love her.
When I heard all the story, I was like, so living good. For her.
Oh no, she was my everything. Yeah. I was obsessed. And then she came to the after party, which no one that's not in the main cast does. And she came with like truly an entourage and like a huge to do and was like act. It was incredible.
But see, that's the opposite of the "oh is me." That's the like this is me.
Yeah, like, so, like, that's like I deserve every bit of attention.
Stand
and then
by
some.
That. Like, yeah, that entitlement like, I can live for.
Right,
but like a being like I hate people coming up to me or reaching out or anything like that.
Well, she was
like,
a little difficult on set.
Like I live like we get a lot of emails. For this podcaster, I get messages a lot. And like this past week, like when I've been having like some depression moments, like those are the things that like make me actually want to get out of bed. Like to have someone say,
I live for the applause.
Yeah,
applause.
But to have someone say like, oh my God, like what you went through is like something
that
resonates.
There's this great Brené podcast about belonging. And it made me start meditating on how like, okay, is it fittest of the survival or survival of the fittest?
Survival of the fittest.
How like being seen, this might be my book I write someday, being seen.
I like that title.
Thanks.
It's a good title.
It was very therapeutic for me to replace the word fame with visibility as a gender fluid, nonconforming, like, you know, Latinx person to like kind of let go of like that, like, to let go of the shame of like the gross part of like wanting to get ahead. I was like, okay, actually, no, it's about visibility. Mm-hmm. And visibility is on every spectrum and everyone has their own version of that and their own. And I replaced show business with showing up. Mm-hmm. Just truly showing up. Mm-hmm. And there's a myriad of what that means, but to be present, to be here, being seen. Is that the book title?
Being seen.
I was going to be from a mole to a freckle.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah, I like that. And I think that it's the concept is, the idea that fittest of the survival or survival of the fittest. What's the word?
Survival of the fittest.
Is that being seen is actually this evolutionary sustenance Mm-hmm. It's this fundamental thing that allows us to grow and spread the way trees grow and pollinate, the way that being, getting the job and becoming manager and being boss. So whether that's the industry or any industry, that like getting ahead actually is less about this like nasty succeeding cutthroat thing, mm-hmm. but being able to be like, hey, friends and family, I did this.
Yeah, this is me. This is who I am. I did
something mm-hmm. on this. And it's, not for legacy either, just like...
just to have it out there. What's interesting, too, when you, like, reframe, like, fame or fame seekers as, like, just trying to be seen is, like, I think that they're... and I've fallen victim to this, too, where it's, like, oh, you need to look a certain way or, like, have, like, a certain type of body or, like... if you achieve like this type of body or this type of face or these lips, like that enhances your ability for fame or to be seen. But like truly, if no. people just see, like people can see who you are regardless yeah. of all of that. And so it's like a good way to
be a 400 pound burn victim and show up. And I believe, hand on who's ever Bible, that we will listen. Another quote by Marianne Williamson, not my own, is don't worry about finding followers. This was even before like followers and things. It was like, don't worry about an audience. If you have something to say, people will show up to listen. Mm-hmm. She also says, and I loved this one, if every human being on the planet was looking at you for one moment, what would you say?
Wow.
I mean, right? And so it's like, I think you're right. I think the lips and the Botox and the liposuction is like fuckable.
It's fuckable, and it's I like, think it helps you see... what's the
fucking difference between fuckable and visible? It's yeah. like, sure, is being mm-hmm. famous being fuckable? It's like, okay, well, then that's money, and then that's capitalism, and that's... okay, so mm-hmm. you get the house and the pool.
Right.
But, like, that's so far from what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But I think that's so close to what a lot of people are living with, mm-hmm. for sure, absolutely.
Well, I think what's so great about you is that you showed up, and, like, you gave something to people that they didn't know that they needed. I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, you created it on your own space for yourself, and you're like, yep. And it you know, people didn't have any context or they didn't have any comparison, but you were just like, nope, you need this. And they do.
Yeah.
You know? And that's a great thing, I think.
I mean, thank you. I think it's less methodical and more like compelled. Like, yeah. I do think it's something when people talk about like, there's a fire in my belly, or like, I used to date when I was younger, and they're like, well, why do you want to act? They're like, you know, acting's very hard. Like, all of that weird, like, adult stuff to tell a kid. Yeah. And I was like, because there's this feeling inside
yeah.
me. And I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I have to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying I'm a fucking messiah.
You're just my messiah.
Yeah, girl.
My boo-boo. Let's do some reader mail.
Okay.
So we have a section of the podcast where our
they're already listening? We're live?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. That'd be great.
But we call the listeners the readers, and then we read the mail that they send and give them advice. Yeah. So
may I?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hey, Ryan and Lara. I write this to you under the covers of a cum-stained blanket in a hotel in Prague, in a hostel in Prague, part of my post-grad self-indulgent European backpacking romp. It's 5 a.m. and I arrived too late to go out, so I came back here tipsy, which was a huge mistake. While the rest of my room babes out, the girl next to me is puking, the couple below me is having sex for the second time in the last hour, I reserve judgment as I think about my babe moment in Europe and decide to share with my favorite podcast. 2 weeks after entering my 20s, my camp counselor from when I was 13 invited me out for a Sunday roast before I left back for the States. I worked in London that summer. It was the last weekend I was there. So as Ryan hopefully learned when he resided there, Sundays in England are wild.
They are.
Everyone's drunk out of their mind by 3 p.m.
It's guaranteed. Crazy. Yeah.
Somehow after 18 weeks, every Sunday truly managed to catch me by surprise like a period attack. And I find myself peeing in the street by 7 p.m. and passed out in bed by 9. This Sunday, however, was the blackest black of them all. I remember leaving the pub to go to someone's house with the whole crew, and the next thing I know, it's nighttime. I don't know if you've ever blacked out in walking before, but it's seriously like I woke up and opened my eyes for the first time while I was walking down the street. Literally, I felt a whoosh, and it's like I traveled through space and time. I found myself wearing a Christmas sweater, it's August, and stumbling down a road I've never been on before. I try to talk to the bus drivers and keep getting on random buses asking if they're going near East London where my flat was. They weren't. My phone dies and I give up on the bus journey and decide to flag down a taxi, but instead a car pulls up to the side of the road. A man yells at me in a thick accent, "Get in, you crazy girl," and I saunter over and hop in the front seat.
Uh-oh.
I learn he's from Ghana, that I was in the literal worst part of South London, and he couldn't believe he saw a little white girl by herself walking around. I chat his ear off. He buys me a pineapple soda, which he filled up on... while he filled up on petrol and then dropped me off at my flat. I throw all the extra pounds I had in my pocket on my seat and I get out and yell, "For the soda!" I immediately re-black out as soon as I entered my flat and apparently FaceTimed everyone and sent some crazy incomprehensible texts. I'm ready to make it a lol, but everyone I spoke to, like... it was like, this is clearly a null. So I reflected, felt bad / scared for myself, but then drunk hitchhiked again a year later in New York City. So definitely didn't feel that bad. This time I just had the common sense not to tell anyone. Anyways, thanks for listening, and hopefully I babe out more safely for the rest of my 20s. If you guys have ever had a hitchhiking journey, I would love to hear. Also, if you have any advice on how to change your blackout behavior, I'd much appreciate. With love and light, Hitchhiking Honey.
Aw, well... you know, as a concerned mom, I get worried that a man picked her up, and thank God he was okay. And
yeah, he was
not.
He was a babe.
But they're not all that way.
They're not all that way.
I would say most aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blacking out and preventing a blackout is really about knowing your limits, which for me is like at this point in time, I'm really like, I'm very conscious of like checking in with myself after like a couple drinks. And it's usually my limit is about 3 drinks and then I'm good and like have a good buzz going, but I'm not so drunk that I'm going to be hungover the next day. Mm-hmm. And if I go beyond that, I know that I'm making a decision to then go cross the line. And so I try and just be conscious of that. But I'm also not an alcoholic, so... I can know my limits in that way. And I think when you have alcoholism or suffer from substance...
Liza says this is disease.
Yeah, then you don't... That's one of the things of alcoholism is you don't know your limits.
Right, and that's, and then you feel bad for not living up to them, but it's not your fault.
I was just going to say, if may I do?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Last night I had not a blackout, mm-hmm. and I was so fucking shocked why I didn't.
Yeah.
Because I was in a safe space. I remember being like, I had drinks. And I remember just being so cognizant the entire time until I like was like, well, I'm going to go to bed now. Like, and I was like, why does it happen that other times... I was having like really interesting thoughts too in my mind, mm-hmm. like really breakthroughs and stuff. And I was like, why am I so aware out of all that I've drank and I've had the same amount other nights and have blacked out and done terrible mm-hmm. things? By terrible things, I mean like, you know,
yelling and hollering.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Exactly. I have like a vocal blackout. And it like doesn't even make sense. It's very like Selma Blair.
It's performative.
Yeah. It's very performative. Yeah, it's Selma the Blair grand the dame in me. Yeah, it's Selma Blair on the airplane, which did like she's like, there is no abuse happening. You know, she was like, he's burning my private.
Right, it was right. just so.
I mean, I do think that like spirits come through me, and that's a whole other podcast. But, right. I just will come back to the things for me is like eat, girl,
mm-hmm.
drink water, try not to drink during the week. Also, if you start drinking when you wake up, if you start drinking at noon, or if you start, well, I don't know, everyone's different. Some people at 6 can have 2 drinks and they're fucked up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like 9 drinks later, like, why am I on an open mic right now. You know, really? Like I, yeah.
You have to know yourself and know what your yeah. limits are, and
but you don't know
what your but I think you're right with the intentions are going yes. into drinking, which a lot of times for me it was like I drank with just the only intention was to get fucked up. So it's like,
see,
I'll just drink and I'll just continue filling up on drinks because that's what we're all doing. And like, I'm out and this is happening.
Oh, to get fucked up because you're having fun?
Yeah, you're having fun. And yeah, like, yeah, yeah. And just
not
being
because
like,
you don't want to feel what you're feeling.
No, just to be like, lol, like having a fun yeah, time. Absolutely. But then you start to learn. And I think just getting
it
older,
catches up
it catches
to you or
up
something.
To you. Yeah. And so now it's just not my preferred like
right.
thing of choice.
I do
drunk.
Think it's hard though when, to say know your limits or no, because if you're somebody that blacks out, those people are usually like,
they don't know.
They don't know. And they're not like caution to the wind. They wish they had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's usually, it's never on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No,
I always
it's not
feel
on
like
purpose.
That when I black out, I'm like, I didn't want, like, I actually was having such a good time.
Yeah, right. But also if you're having, like, 9 to 10 drinks in a row, or you take, like, 5 shots and then are having cocktails on top of that, your chances of blacking out are a lot higher than if you have a couple glasses of wine.
Yeah, and also on, like, a metaphysical, spiritual level, like, if blacking out ends up in you doing bad things, you're a bad person. If blacking out ends up in you doing good things, you're a good person. I rest my case.
I mean,
I'm a bad person, so I shouldn't black out. No, I do know what I mean by that. It's also
in high school.
In like,
I blacked out while driving like a few times, and that was really okay. scary. Yeah. And I think yeah. that it's. I don't.
But,
I don't think it's
but
ever.
Were you just in autopilot? And
yeah,
you were, like,
I mean, I drove. Like I was not getting in a car accident.
I think it's a social conversation of like, what's wrong with blacking out? What's wrong with
I
like
think a
saying
lot of
and
things
feeling what you want to feel? Like, what's wrong with kissing each? Other.
I think a lot
like,
of things are wrong
off.
With blacking out.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
I think
all right. All right. I just threw it out there. All right. I didn't. I'm not claiming blackout is like the spiritual.
You're like on a spiritual level. You're just channeling. Like you're just checking out, and someone yeah. else checks in.
Well, I yeah. Hey.
All right. Hi, Laura and Ryan. Thank you both for being the OG lollers that get me through my day. I look forward to new episodes every week, and you're the first podcast I've ever been a Patreon member of because I needed to hear the bonus eps. I was hesitant at first to write an email as you both live super close to me. I live right by King's Road Cafe, and whenever either of you mentions a local place, it fills me with far too much excitement. Whenever I'm walking around the neighborhood, I imagine running into two chic individuals and saying, babe? And
didn't
then all
I
of us-
mention King's Road like the other day on a podcast?
Yeah. Okay. And then all of us loll about town, and Laura and I go to ClassPass workouts together. But as my fever dream projections would tell me, if you can't share your babeness when you first hang out with a new friend, are they really a friend at all? So here goes. I'm in my late 20s and have never had sex. Ironically, the patriarchal bullshit that would shame me as a woman for sleeping around also makes it seem like I'm a leper if I mention my still Cher Horowitz status. I could count the number of dates I've been on in just one hand. The farthest I've gone was giving a guy a quick hand job years ago. My close friends know about this, but in larger group circles, when people are swapping their sexual stories about how they lost their virginity, I talk super vaguely about it, as in, oh, I lost it in college, and then quickly move on with the conversation. I'm not asexual by any means, but I've always struggled with even putting myself out there. A bit of backstory. I was chubby for most of my life, and having been raised in LA, that meant I was at the bottom of the sexual food chain. Mm. Even though I knew that it wouldn't be true, I always thought that if I was thinner, then everything would just work out and I would be living, laughing, and loving across LA. However, I recently lost over 40 pounds, and while I definitely feel more confident in a lot of different ways, it feels like there's a giant roadblock stopping me from living my best life. I'm a Virgo with a Scorpio moon, which basically means that I'm prickly porcupine with a soft underside that just wants people to like
me. Aw, little cutie.
My Virgo-ness blares out warning signs against fucking an actual stranger. I have seen too many SVU episodes for that, but my social circle is small and I work from home. I've tried the whole Bumble Tinder situation, but find it tedious to the point that I delete the app after a couple days. I have an appointment to start going to therapy again, but was wondering if you had any insights on how to, as Ryan says, get a dick inside. Me. Any insights would be greatly appreciated so I can turn my babe into a babe.
I mean, you know, this is my story. I've mentioned it literally every week on Babe of being celibate for a long time and how that fucked with me. And I'm with you. I'm a Virgo. I get it. I always give the same advice every time, and I feel maybe it's bad. I don't know. Where it's like, it's now become way bigger than it needs to be. You know, and Anne has now been turned into Godzilla, and I totally get that, because I honestly feel like in some ways, like, Jonathan took my virginity, even though I had sex when I was in high school. I mean, there was
but it had been years.
There was a 10-year gap.
Yeah.
10-year gap.
So it's like starting over.
It is truly. I mean, I felt like a virgin, abso-fucking-lutely. And I was scared of it, and I was scared of men, and it was like a whole thing, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And honestly, if someone just fucked me, some Marlon Rando fucked me, I would have been like, okay, that's literally not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would just, God, I don't want to speak for everybody because everyone's different, but I wish I hadn't placed so much importance on it because it really wasn't that important.
Yeah.
And I wish that I just had, like, literally gone to, like, Metropolitan one night and, like, took home some random and, like, fucked them and been like, oh, thank God I got that over with. Like, now I can just, like, re-enter the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But instead, I just became so scared of it.
Yeah.
I became so scared because it had been so long. So
I think our reader doesn't want to fuck a rando, though. Which is
sometimes
understandable.
I totally get that, but sometimes it's like ripping off the necessary band-aid a little bit.
I know, but I think it's different for women.
Yeah, it is.
Like, right. When you're
gay POV over here.
Yeah, I think that you don't need to make that big of a deal out of it. And honestly, like, anyone that you meet and like and want to have sex with, like, if they don't want to have sex with you or don't want to be in a relationship with you because of you being a virgin, like, you don't want to be with them anyways. Like,
oh, totally.
That's just a natural selection, like, Xing them out of your life. And, like, you have to just put yourself out there. You have to, like, and I'm in this situation, too, where it's like, I'm like, I need... Like, I want to meet someone and be in a relationship, but I also work from home. My, like, primary relationships in my life are with gay men and straight women. So, like, there's nowhere that a man, like a heterosexual or bisexual man, fits into that equation. So if I want something, I have to go get it myself, which is the hardest part of getting something.
Totally.
What do you think?
Well, a lot of things. And I'm just going to tail on what you said because there were a couple points in there, but looping back around. But what I would say is, in addressing the difficulty, when I kind of grew my hair out long and started wearing makeup because I felt compelled to do that from the inside out,
mm-hmm.
With my femme identity or my, you know, transcending of gender or my gender fluidity, what felt so right for me to be myself and also so badass to just, like, be in LA and, like, be like, or wherever and be like, I'm going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, fuck. I'm not going to get laid. Because gay guys like guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, or it's like the horny straight perv that wants, like, a lady boy. Like, which sometimes they're hot. I was like, oh, I am now truly, like, unfuckable to 89% of the gay population because mm-hmm. they are so shallow with wanting, like, a guy's built in a mm-hmm. crew cut and, like, just and even if they could, like, vary from that to, like, a little bit, like, you know, a skinny hipster or, like, mm-hmm. a big belly guy, it's like I'm now the thing that they do not find sexually attractive, which is feminine because yeah. they're gay men. And then straight men are, it's like, how are they going to deal with, like, a female looking person that's a man? Like, so I was like, oh, God damn it. Why did this thing have to be hard for me? I guess something had to be because everything else was going to be easy. But I was having these flashes because she kept saying blackout. Or no, that was the
yeah,
last one.
The
oh,
last
sorry.
One.
Sorry. I was having blackout flashes. But she was saying about... What was the first thing she said about being...
She said she had been chubby.
Yeah, she was chubby and then
and
lost
growing up
weight.
LA, lost weight.
And then feels more confident, but it's not enough of a confidence boost to, like... It's like she's still feeling, like, fucked up about the whole thing.
To not have sex the first time.
Yeah, she's never had sex. She's a virgin. She's a virgin.
And we don't know how old she is. I mean,
she's in her late 20s.
I do think there's a little bit of pull the Band-Aid off. I think that rather than waiting for Mr. Right or this like cosmic connection with someone and bearing your soul, although God, that's so beautiful too. The right guy will be the right guy who's like, it's okay, and mm-hmm. we'll do it together, and we will light candles and get the lotions and like figure it out. I'm just a little bit more of a vigilante, and we know that clearly, but I'd be like, I feel like just like getting fucked would allow me to be in a space to receive Mr. Right.
So that's because exactly what I was going to say. Because I
think it would keep me, mm-hmm. and I think that's what you brought up, is that the anxiety built around it actually buffers human connection.
Yeah. I completely agree, because when I wasn't having sex, it developed intimacy issues mm-hmm. that I had. Like, it was just because I became so scared of it, because I hadn't had it in so long, and it created this whole narrative about myself that absolutely. Wasn't true.
Yeah, I'm very similar. To you in that mm-hmm. it in a very similar journey, and it makes to this day I had a very very like strikingly handsome suitor take me on dates in the most cordial like 1850s ooh. Like held my hand in the movie and like didn't stay the night and like
wow
did never was forced to the point where then I thought, oh, so you don't, because you're not basically attacking me mm-hmm. or like assaulting me, you don't like me. Mm-hmm. And that's my fucked up issues.
Right.
Because when I finally had the courage to address that, he's like, what has made you think I don't like you when I'm here making time for you here? And I'm like, okay, that's because I equate, now we're really getting sex with aggression yeah. with sex, or like I equate
ugly duckling as with
or
affection.
Like ugly duckling complex, so like no right. one's like actually gonna find me attractive,
yeah,
so then I need somebody to like really like kind of almost be disgusting unless so and then also
and like abuse you
and yeah and a part of me I was gonna say because we're gay people, it's like we don't have the same things that 16-year-olds had mm-hmm. that are same romance and courtship. So we had it at 26, so we are late. Right. But I will say that she is on the same page with a queer person because of this scenario
mm-hmm.
of being other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I rest my case.
I love that. Dear Lauren Ryan, first things first, I'm literally obsessed with you two, and the pod is one of the best parts of my week. Please keep my name anonymous. I've been dating an amazing guy for a year, and I'm so truly in love with him. My first boyfriend ever was physically and emotionally abusive, and I spent most of my 20s single and not looking. I met my current boyfriend, and everything changed. He's a major loller and makes me so, so happy and helps me forget what happened to me in the past. For the first 10 months of our relationship, the sex was incredible, having it constantly, and he was the first guy to make me come. He would go down on me for hours, and it was literally the first time I've ever felt comfortable being naked and with someone. 3 months ago, he started antidepressants, and his sex drive went down the toilet. I'm very proud of him for getting help, but I miss the sex and our physical connection as it was literally on fire. We're still having some sex, but much, much less than before. I never mention it to him, and I always assure him that it's fine, but he apologizes about his lack of sex drive, and I think he feels bad. The cuddling and spooning is great, and we're a lot closer emotionally. I just miss his dick a little. Is it babe of me to be upset we aren't being as intimate right now, or am I being reasonable? Will his sex drive come back? I miss it a lot, but I really want to be a supportive girlfriend, as he is honestly the best. Love and light.
I love this. I've always found it funny that the side effects of antidepressants are things that would make you ordinarily depressed. Like, they're like, weight gain, loss of sex drive. I'm like, wait, this is supposed to make me happy? I'm confused.
Yeah.
she's totally, her feelings are totally valid. She's not being a babe for missing the sex. I think that's that's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To go from that, to go from like having constant, amazing, great sex to then having it slow down and be in this kind of lull period that's definitely something, you know what I mean?
That's
and
a
you
loss.
Have to
it's
have a like a reaction to that.
Yeah. And I don't know, because I've never dated someone who's been on antidepressants, so I can't speak to like whether or not it will come back or whatever. I don't know. It's a tough situation because you want your boyfriend happy.
Yeah. It's hard. Like, I mean, my experience of being on antidepressants has been like definitely a reduced sex drive where sometimes I'll just realize, I'll be like, oh my God, I haven't like even masturbated in like 3 weeks or something like that.
3 weeks?
Yeah. Like oh you just God. Don't, it becomes like a not, you're just not thinking about it. Yeah. It's like not on your mind anymore. I mean, that being said, I think that if someone was in my life and like trying to fuck me and like seducing me and whatever, I'd be real. I would be responsive to it. I would like that. So maybe it's a question of just having like certain date nights and being like, this is a night, like we're going to put this time aside or you're going to put this time aside to have like that romantic, like intimate connection night. Cause I feel like once you guys get going,
right,
it can be but also if he just makes you come, that's fine too.
But also my advice for any kind of relationship issue is so boring and basic, but it's true. It's communication. Mm-hmm. So I would, instead of sitting there and feeling bad about feeling bad that there's less sex, I would just bring it up and not in an accusatory way or a judgmental way. Just be like, hey, like I'm just, you know,
I miss this part of our life.
And like, da, da, da. And I think that we'll just cure a lot, even just carrying around the secret. Carrying around secrets in relationships are their own kind of poison. Yeah. So I would say just speaking honestly about it in a very non-judgmental way, it will be helpful.
I don't know. I have a thought.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Do better at getting him hard. I'm talking corset, fan, get a better perfume, like watch a Beyonce music video and learn a little bit. Like, hello, art of seduction, honey, like get a perm. If your hair is straight,
get a perm. Don't get a perm. No, I mean, I get a
blowout. Like, look up Freckle and like copy some of my looks. A, that's my first thing. B, figure out how to fucking romance a dinner. And make it not about you coming, like, have a meal together that feels so good and be sensual. If this person is your boyfriend and you love them for who they are, if they were a burn victim and you love their heart and soul and you want to be with this person, then you will do what it takes to Lego piece, like, your connection together. And work from there, because that will only satisfy all other aspects of your life. Like, mm-hmm. if we do better at, like, nuancing our connections, like, we will facilitate... You'll get the boner. But also, like, and yes, pro women, like, let him eat you out. And, like, also, like, find hardcore connection without penetration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think also, like, discuss what your fantasies are. Like, beyond just, like, fucking all the time. Thing,
right?
What?
No.
There was, like, this, like, old interview with Barbara Walters listening after Christopher Reeves was in the wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And he was with his wife and she... Or Diane Sawyer, and you know how they ask the hard-hitting questions. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, what's sex like? It was like something like that. And in the screen, it permeates. They look at each other right in the eyes, and they're like, oh, it's fine.
Wow.
And whether that means she's, like, sitting on his face or, like, masturbating with the dildo, I don't know. I don't need to know. But that was so amazing to me.
Yeah.
To know that, like, it isn't about the mechanics. It isn't about, you know. So, right. Like, honey, you have a sex addiction and you're a horn dog. Grow some taste buds and read a book. Get deep. Oh my God. Am I right or am I right? I mean, God, Soul Talk Sunday over here.
Oh my God.
Ooh.
All right.
Let's do one more.
Yeah, let's do one more.
What do you have to say about that?
I think...
I don't think she has a sex addiction.
Maybe I wasn't listening. I was, like, texting my
Let's take the Freckle advice with a grain of salt on this.
A grain of lol.
Because I think that every relationship, and especially when you have, like, such a deep, deep connection with someone at first and things are popping off sexually, it's like so fun and the sex is amazing. But every relationship gets to a point where it's like the sex gets old or it drops off. Like that's just the nature. But the
relationship is not stimulating?
No, that
sex. I mean, I only hang out with people that light me up like a Christmas tree, but
I know, but sex, I think, and like your sex life in a relationship is going to have ebbs and flows and is not necessarily like indicative of what your connection is with a person. Like, yeah, if you haven't had sex in months or you are to a point where you're having sex like once a year, I think that there's probably a connection problem. But like, this is just an issue that's going to come up and is going to be resolved. It's not like this person doesn't want to fuck you. I
used to
panic
when me and Jonathan would go like a week without having sex. I used to think like it meant something larger with the relationship, but honestly, it truly is just ebbs and flows. There's nothing.
Yeah. And when I was in my 20s, like I had a boyfriend who we had like the craziest fucking sex in my life, like the best sex I've ever had. And then we went through a period of living together where I felt like I wanted to have sex all the time and he was like not interested. And it really would throw me into like a babe spiral of being like, he hates me, thinks I'm ugly, like I don't turn him on. And it's like, it's not about you. And I don't think the reader thinks it's about her, but it's like,
no, she knows why it's happening.
You're now, or not this happening. Is a challenge and you're just going to have to get creative. Yeah. Like, where's and that could usher you into a whole new fun, flirty phase of your sex life together. Yeah. So don't view it as a roadblock. View it as a challenge.
Well, that was my first thing.
And rise like, to the occasion. Yeah. That boyfriend now is like bald. Living in Detroit.
He's bald.
I don't know if he's bald. I haven't checked in, but maybe I'll Facebook him today and self-harm with a Facebook.
Living in Detroit is a babe move.
I don't know. Sometimes I think about what could have been.
Okay. Anyway, it's the next question.
The man that got away.
He is the one that got away.
Oh, no.
No.
Is the one that got away.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But what are you going to do?
He's gonna not going to Detroit. I bet he's following Freckle.
I bet he is not following. He's following Freckle. Is that what you said? I would love that if he was, but I don't think he is. Surprised. He's not on social media.
I bet.
Well. That's not what my DMs
What
say.
If you were like, we're having...
Do you get some fun DMs?
I do. It's not about me. Let's get... And feel free to keep sliding, boys. Or girls, really.
You want girls in the DMs?
They come either whether I want it or not.
Wow.
I didn't know I was so popular with the trans F2M community.
Mm.
Or the lesbian community.
Really? Lesbians?
Literally.
I could see if you being okay a hit with a lesbian. Like,
yeah. Dyke on dyke comments all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. Just they love me. What can I say? I'm, you know, a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, oh, my God.
A little jazz.
Well, it'd be like country and then cock and roll.
Well, I get the blowouts and the lipstick, and I'm like, well, that's what I'm going to put on Instagram. Like, and they're just, you know.
Eating it up.
Yeah. Man, I feel like a woman.
Dear Ryan and Lara, big fan of the pod and of SUP. I'm a 22-year-old gay guy living in New York and strongly relate to Lara's Chicago journey where she had a hard time creating a solid friend group and instead drank with people while talking about being suicidally depressed. Anyways, I'm writing to see how much of a babe my daddy issues are. I've always been attracted to older guys, with men even 30 years older than me being fair game. Mm. The last guy I dated was in his 40s, but I broke it off once he talked about the possibility of tween Justin Bieber getting fucked by Usher for a full hour. This had me wondering if my attraction to daddies is a complete babe or just a harmless preference. I think subconsciously I prefer older men because they're less petty and aggressive than the bitchy rich gays of the Brooklyn bar circuit. But that's an entirely different conversation. Let me know what you guys think.
I love daddies, and I have a great relationship with my dad. I don't have daddy issues. I mean, I have some mommy issues, but no daddy issues. Mine's a physical preference. I like them thick. I like them older. I don't see a problem with it. But everyone's different, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't speak. I don't know him, so I don't know what his journey is. But I'm telling you, as a fellow daddy lover, I would love to fuck a 50-year-old. Would have no issue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recently watched Book Club, which is the best movie of all time.
Right.
And I highly urge everyone to watch it.
Okay.
But Andy Garcia's character in Book Club really did things to me that awakened a new sexual, like, feeling in me that I didn't really know existed. Like, great. I kind of knew it. Like, and I dated over the fall very briefly, kind of a daddy, mm-hmm. like, in his late 40s.
Right.
And I liked it for some parts, but then didn't like other parts. But, like, I think that there's something really sexy about, like, an older guy. Especially yeah. if they can, like, if they...
But for 22, though, I wouldn't get into a relationship with someone. I wouldn't... I think that is weird, actually. For me to be 22 and, like, date, like, a 45-year-old, seriously. I would...
Women do that all the time.
And I think that's weird, too.
I think... I mean, that's kind of judging.
There's no... But I think that there's, like, a maturity gap. It's... I don't know.
There is a maturity difference.
There's a maturity difference. I just don't know. I don't know. Sorry, is that controversial?
I just, I don't know. I dated a 32-year-old when I was 22.
That's not that big of a difference. Also, women are more mature than men.
Yeah. So.
I'm talking about, like, gay men.
I mean, I question him for wanting a 22-year-old, but
that's... Yeah, I question more of the guy.
So cool, and so I get it.
Mm-hmm.
it's just whether or not
yeah.
daddies are acceptable.
Yeah, he wants to know.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of the geriatrics community. So,
I could see you having like an Anna Nicole Smith moment someday.
100%.
Yeah.
Why it hasn't happened, I don't know.
Who's the see oldest
guy that you've dated? I've dated a 40-year-old.
81?
No.
Oh my God. I was about to live.
Take my breath away.
Yeah. I mean, not to compare men to women, but like 60-year-old men can be fucking studs. So like, I don't care. But I've been 80 since I was 11. Like I was right. always an old soul. Like I don't.
So if you're dating a guy your age, you're actually the daddy.
yeah. Oh, by that I logic. Date somebody 2 years younger than me, and I'm like, you don't know what. Chekhov is like
I don't like yeah I don't like going younger really and I don't think I would don't. Do it again
I would
because
not
for younger. The maturity reason
it annoys
first
me.
And foremost I'm like I don't want to be anyone's mommy or anyone's teacher I want like a daddy yeah. and I like the thought
maybe
of like,
even not a daddy maybe like a brother like maybe that's what this is about like I don't want a baby or to be a daddy and I don't really want a daddy come to like mission dependent
yeah
but like I think I want like a twin
mm-hmm.
oh I have a twin
Violet Chachki, oh, yeah. are you listening
oh, yeah. I have a twin I'm all about twincest Jonathan's my twin
yeah I oh, think really? I would love a twin
not like hot can
not,
I watch
not like not like physically I mean I think that we oh. just emotionally are very the same
yeah and personality
wise. Group sex
No, we had sex with a sex worker once, and oh. it was okay.
That was real. Group sex was just like friend or somebody you met or somebody you were dating, and then sex worker. It was like, bam. And it was okay.
It was all right.
You took the sex worker choice over just like...
Yeah, because that was, I guess, it for our first time, it felt like safer in a weird way, because it just felt like no muss, no fuss. You know what I mean?
No musk, no fuss is how I go. Yeah, exactly.
but you never know what will happen. It's a long life.
Yeah. I mean,
Can't wait to meet Johnny.
I would love a twin, like, that meets me in
balls
and spirituality.
I need a male Lara, like, yeah. For you. Like, mm-hmm. I actually think that...
I know.
I think that's where I'd thrive the most. And when I've dated older guys, there's definitely an element of it that I like.
That is because you are so special.
But, like... There is, I'm also very aware of the fact that, like, I do have daddy issues. And so if I'm dating an older man who can, like, provide security and safety for me, that's, like, truly just trying to, like, heal my daddy issues.
But as long as he's nice to you.
As long as he's nice and not taking advantage, it's fun and flirty and, like, great, let's go on vacation.
I think you need the brother of you who happens to be older. So it's basically your twin who's, like, a guy. Because at first I was, like, I can't in my broad spectrum imagine a guy like you because I think you're so special. I love you. I'm a friend that will never hurt you. But then I was like, actually, I can't imagine like a cool, dropped in, quick, like witty, like not a gay man, but like a
But maybe not, because
I don't even believe in that.
I would love bi, but at this point, I will take a not bi.
To be like 6 or 7 years older.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a rock star. I think that like a Dave Grohl type or something.
I love that.
Yeah, totally. Who may be older, but has like a kid spirit.
Has a young energy.
Who's basically you, but just like...
I'm fine with a man that matured very late in life, but yeah. is still mature.
Is like, that,
that's like every man.
You're that. Like a grandmother and a grandfather.
Grandmother,
you're an elder. Okay. You're one of the elders. Like,
if I think we're just living, like a crazy aunt.
Yeah. If we were living in like a old like more, Native American community, you'd be like the revered elder. Yeah.
Berdash. I mean, the Native Americans called what I am Two-Spirit. And they were the medicine people and the storytellers.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
No, I love that, though.
It yeah, tracks. That was... Yeah. Who's your babe of the week? We haven't done this in, like, literally 6 episodes.
So many.
But we need to bring it back.
There's our building door. There's Nikki Blonsky. There's fucking the men of Arrested Development. I don't know. That's a lot.
That's a lot. My babe of the week... is Chelsea Davey, Prince Harry's ex, that came to his wedding.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, he invited both of his exes to his wedding, which seems bold, but he didn't invite them. He invited Chelsea to the wedding, but not the reception.
Oh, that's weird.
So she had to come to the boring part and, like, dress up and then be filmed watching the wedding, which is, like, a power move on him and Meghan's part, and then not get to even party or eat afterwards.
That's fucking disturbing.
And she... held her shit together. I mean, she looked kind of uncomfortable, but she really held her shit together. And then I read today that they had like a teary phone call a week before the wedding that really was like their final moment of closure. So wow. I think that that situation to me is a mega babe.
Totally.
Like, I would not invite my exes to my potential wedding.
Well, I mean, it depends on your relationship. It's like, if you have a good one.
If I was dating a guy and then he wanted to invite his 2 ex-girlfriends to our wedding.
I think it's all about context.
No. I'm a no.
You straight people do things differently. As gays, we keep it all in the family.
Yeah.
We recycle.
I don't think I would love an ex at the wedding. I just don't think I would. Maybe I would in the sense that I would be like, haha, he's mine now. But I don't want to even think about them. Like, I don't even want, like, a big wedding. I think for the right person,
like, you wouldn't be jealous if, like, their girlfriend's ex-girlfriend.
Freckle's done. She's texting.
Anything about the wedding, I don't care.
Yeah. Same.
I think English people are uncouth. Inbred and insane. I don't care. I'm Mexican. Half, but nonetheless, like Latina. I don't have that white, waspy Anglo-Saxon, like...
Yeah.
Stench. I have a stench of my own.
That you do.
Yeah, but I've gotten better.
Yeah, really you good. Have.
Hot bath. Hot. Burn it off.
Yeah. Who's your babe of the week?
Well, I don't follow anyone on Instagram.
You don't?
No.
What a power move.
She unfollowed, power moved. You really created a lot of waves.
The gay community was shook.
I remember multiple people came to me being like, well, Freckle unfollowed me, and I think that that's bullshit. And I was like, she doesn't follow anyone. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's the point. A really beautiful,
it's a statement.
Might I say, trans girl came up to me at a bar and said, you unfollowed me? And I blocked you. I thought, first of all, I unfollowed everyone. And
when
second
I saw
of all,
0 people, I lol.
Yeah, I was like, good. How can you take it personal when it's 0? I don't understand.
But I don't think they know it because they have that stupid app that tells them people unfollow them, which is psychotic.
That's just iconic. Why would you do that? That's emotional cutting.
I mean, unless you know you're a masochist, but and she said, I looked at her and I said, good, that's why I unfollowed everyone. Like, you should. Oh, when she's like, I blocked you, I was like, good, you should. That's why I unfollowed everyone. And she goes, don't you think it's a little extreme to follow no one? And I was like,
no,
do you know who I am? Like, what
you
the
deal
fuck?
In extremes,
yeah. And also, like, I will say this. it was too, I was like a child, am not above admitting my faults. Like, to me, it's like a Game Boy. And if you gave me a Game Boy right now with Tetris, like, I would play it all day long. Mm-hmm. So I will just be glued to it. So it was like either delete the app or unfollow everyone. And I couldn't deny my public.
I loved you unfollowing everyone. It really inspired me and made me want to unfollow everyone.
I made posts about it too. I was like, here I go. This is happening.
And people still couldn't deal with it.
No. And people really take it personally. Who cares? Which is so funny.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like, truly, who cares? And if we're in a world that someone cares, like, I don't want that person.
Well, I'd rather you follow me in real life to say, though, talk to me.
The second thing is this. I will say it's cleared up a lot of my mind as far as like how much time I'm on the phone. It's made me not know what's really going on, which I like what's the cool party or thing. I'm completely free from that. And the third thing is, when I see my friend, like when you opened the gate and the thing, when I see my friends, I literally go, like, because I haven't seen them in a while. And it just, I love my friends. Totally. I think the meaning of life and God is your best friends.
Yeah.
Like, I really do. I don't, I think biologically our family is like what made us, but like who your friends are is like, it's like,
it's your tribe.
Je ne sais pas. Yeah. And so when I see my friends, I get so, I look at them, I look at their skin and their hair, and I'm like, you're here, and I know why I love you, as opposed to seeing you every single
thing. Well, it gives it like this false sense of closeness, and like you're checking in on them, but you're not really ever
getting. But on the flip side, I post probably almost like triple the amount I ever did before.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm making it very conscious that I'm like, you are a fan watching me doing something that I know that you are watching me doing something that I know that you are watching me doing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's pretty cognizant of itself.
Yeah.
I'm inspired.
Thank you. I don't know if it's the answer. We'll find out later. But I don't know anything about the... It took me like weeks after the wedding. It was like last week, right?
It was last week.
To realize it was an American actress of color. And I thought, well, that makes sense because I'm probably going to marry a Saudi Arabian tycoon.
I love that.
I really see it happening.
The Freckle Challenge. Unfollow everyone. Power move.
I love it.
All right. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Of course. Is there any more questions you have for me? I feel like I'm
I could keep going for hours and hours. I think
because you edit this, right?
Or yeah, we edit all, it.
Yeah. So really dig in deep now.
Yeah.
Where you got me here.
Well, I gotta go. I really do.
No, thank you.
No. I mean, I do actually have to go.
Okay.
I have something at 3, but.
But, babe, the way I don't even remember when the week started or week ended. Like, what day is it today?
It's Thursday.
See, I'm such a Buddhist whatever that, I think that might be my title. By Buddhist whatever by Freckle. You didn't even mean to say it. First of all, it was kind of a dish. You were like, Buddhist or whatever. And I was like, that's great. I think that, okay, I'll close this out with this. There's so much love for you and me. I was 21 when I wrote that. I woke up from a dream and I wrote it on a piece of paper. There's so much love for you and me. Let me teach you open heart theory. Let in love deflect hate. It's all about the give and take. If you stay open to me, I'll stay open to you. Don't close off and stay inside. Come out and play. And let's show this planet a brand new way. And if you need another mantra that's shorter, repeat after me. My purpose.
My purpose.
My purpose.
On this planet.
On this planet.
On this planet.
Is to focus all my energy.
Is to focus all my energy.
Into love.
Into love.
And light up the world with it.
And light up the world with it.
Thank you.
You can find us on Instagram at Babe Podcast. You can find Freckle on Instagram at Aunt Freckle.
Aunt Freckle.
Aunt Freckle. Freckle. Go to our website, babepodcast.com, which is like a really great place to learn more about our journey.
Donate to our Patreon.
Patreon.com/Babe Podcast. Also, My wish list is on Amazon.com. So go to babepodcast.com where you will find a link to my Amazon wish list. My birthday is on Wednesday, May 30th. So feel free to Amazon some shit my way. Love and light.
Smooch.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.